you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And you can catch us here every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can catch us on your radio dial at Heaven 97 KHVN in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. Or you can get us streaming live on the internet at true-church.org. We want to use the Word of God to deal with situations that arise, and I try my best to be grassroots about it in order to deal with some of the things, current events and different things that are going on in our lives, so that we will know how to apply the Word of God properly to certain situations. You know, so many of us have grown up and been fed so many cliches. You know, we know all the catchphrases and all the cliches, and then when we have such a small data bank of information concerning the Word of God, when situations arise, sometimes we try to use scripture to apply to certain situations that we can't use, scriptures that don't work in that particular situation. So we need to make sure that we understand the Word thoroughly, what the Word of God says. And that comes by being under someone that will teach us the Word of God thoroughly, and that will be mindful of how the Word is applied to our lives on a daily basis, so that we can take the Word with us, hide it in our heart, and we can use it to rightly divide certain situations and test certain situations to know what is God and what is the enemy. And that is very important as we are entering into a time in our history where men are beginning to fall in the church and the world is beginning to expose the church. And then we have to be mindful of what the Spirit of God is telling us and what the Word of God says about these kinds of situations when they arise. We have the media right now with a bishop on blast 24 hours a day, and even the comedians Jay Leno and David Letterman, they're making jokes about the church now and about the bishop, the disgraced bishop that has fallen into pedophilia and homosexuality, and they're saying all these things, and it is a shame that they're being exposed like that. But y'all, there's a root to this thing, and we want to get to the root of this thing. I want to deal with it a little bit here because I don't want you in the dark. You know, I was like, Lord, I don't want to deal with this. I've already written a blog, and I suggest if you haven't read our blog, we have a blog called Baal Worship. Very important blog. We put that blog up, and within 24 hours, we had over 20,000 hits on that blog. I mean, that blog is going everywhere. So I encourage you to read that one. That will help you get good insight on what is going on right now with this court case and all of this media attention. But I wanted to deal with something else. Well, and when I say I wanted to, I'm doing it because God is leading me to do it. I really don't want to. I wish I could preach about something else. But God is desiring for me to deal with this situation, because this situation needs to be dealt with, and people need to understand how to rightly divide the Word of God and understand how to judge certain situations and how to deal with certain situations that appear before us. And, you know, having a Facebook, having email, having all the different things that EX Ministries has, you get a lot of comments from people, and people try to comment, and they want so badly to be right when they comment, and they want to use scripture scripture out of context a lot of times when they comment. And the main scripture that has been, you know, thrown all over, I guess, our website and everyone else that has any kind of negative opinion of this situation, they want to use Galatians 6. And people are throwing Galatians 6 everywhere. I'm going to deal with this because Galatians 6 and 1 starts out saying, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Okay, we read in this scripture, and the first thing that ought to come to your mind is this particular bishop, because of his stature, because he's a superstar, because he's lifted up before men, there is no way to go and restore this man. Okay, this scripture is not talking about the leadership of the church. It's talking about the lay members. So Paul was talking to the actual church members, telling them that when one of your fellow members is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, you go restore that person and you go be there for them and bear that person's burdens and help get them back where they belong and don't turn your nose away from them. So you can't apply Galatians 6 to a superstar celebrity Christian, okay? When somebody is lifted up high and got armor bearers all around them, slapping your wrist when you try to reach out to them and, you know, they're high and lifted up, the normal people can't get to them, then how in the world could you use Galatians 6? There's no way to contact them. You're not big enough. You're not high enough. You don't have enough fame, so that you can't reach them. Now, if you get a multi-platinum album, or if you own BET, or if you got money, then definitely you can contact them. But a normal person, good luck. You know what I'm saying? So Galatians 6, that can't work here, okay? So quit throwing that, please. Quit emailing me that scripture, y'all, please, okay? You can't apply that to this situation because we're talking about a celebrity. And this is a price of fame. This is what fame cost, okay? When a person is lifted up like this before people, then when they fall, guess where they fall? Before all the people. And another thing we need to consider here is this passage is talking about the individuals in the church. So it's talking about church members, but there is a whole nother set of rules that Paul gives us and that he taught us in the Word of God on dealing with leaders. There's a totally different way of handling leaders in the church, and leaders need to be held accountable by other leaders. So they need to be accountable to one another. This is why we have the fivefold ministry, the leaders, the teachers, the evangelists, the prophets, the pastors, the apostles. We have them to hold accountable the men that are in leadership in our churches. So this is God's structure. These are the ones that are supposed to hold each other accountable so that when situations like this happen, they can be dealt with privately, okay? But we must remember that when the whole alliance of men that are together in a circle or in a council or whatever are corrupt, then there's no one to hold anyone accountable because there's no standard, okay, people? So we have to have a standard. Now, understand something, and I want you to understand this. We must realize God is not lifting these men up that preach false doctrine, that are shaking hands with Hollywood and buddying up with secular folks, you know, living these lifestyles where they are pretty much rock stars, worshiped by all, called daddy by everybody. God is not lifting these people up. People are lifting these people up. And because they are lifted up by the people and propped up by other lascivious leaders with platforms, then it's the devil's doing and undoing when they fall. So we have to realize that this is not God. And I said that in my blog. This is not God punishing a bishop, punishing him for his sins. No, God is going to judge our sins later on. God is going to judge us all at the great white throne of judgment. So God is not putting men up to snatch them down. He's not giving men giant platforms so that everybody can just fall with that person. No, people are being lifted up by people. 2 Timothy 4:3 tells us, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." In other words, the people are going to want people in front of them that's going to preach their agenda, that's going to preach it the way they want, that's going to allow for their carnality. They want someone that's going to buddy up with Hollywood because they want to embrace Hollywood. They want a pastor that's going to buddy up with the sinful secular artists. You know, this particular bishop that's fallen is, you know, he's buddy-buddy with Usher and a bunch of secular artists, and he's one of the lead promoters of holy hip-hop, the sanctified hip-hop religion. He was the financial backing of holy early hip hop, you know. And so this guy is doing the stuff that the people want. The people want holy hip hop. They want hip hop, and they want a sanctified version of sagging and thugging for Jesus, I guess. So they put up a man that's going to give them that. They put up a man that's going to give them Farrakhan on a Sunday morning, because he actually preached in this guy's church. They're going to put up a man that's going to give them T.I., who actually preached a sermon on a Sunday morning. They're going to put up people that's going to give them what they want. I mean, we have that all over the nation. These celebrity bishops with these superstar celebrities and folks whistling and hollering out even during the service. When the people want the world, they go get a worldly leader. Listen to what I'm saying. And Jude says it like this. It says, for certain men have crept in, sneaking in, stealthily, like a ninja. The Amplified version says, gaining interest secretly by a side door. So these are people that are creeping into the church, and they're creeping in because the people want them there. You saw the people give a thunderous applause at whatever they say. It doesn't have to even make sense. Just say something, because we love you, because you are our God. You are our Lord. And it's just like King Herod and some of the other men. The people think that these are men of God. You know, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 12 about Herod, saying that Herod was arrayed in royal apparel, and he sat up on his throne, and he began to speak, and the people started shouting, saying, it is the voice of God and not a man. And we know what happens next. Herod was eaten by worms and gave up the ghost, because God will not share his glory with anyone. Simon the sorcerer, the same thing. The Bible tells us that Simon the sorcerer did great things, and he bewitched the people of Samaria, and the people began to say that this man has the great power of God. So it's the same thing all over again. People always thinking that something is God when it is not God. So listen, people, you have to know that some of these men that are worshiped by people, they are not from God. Just because a man calls himself a pastor does not mean that he is a pastor. Just because a man calls himself a bishop does not mean that he is a bishop. Why do we think that? Why do we think that a person can just assume the position and it's automatically what he says? Don't we read the Word of God, where the Bible talks about false prophets and false Christ, and says that false prophets will come in the last days? And the only way we're going to know the difference, the only way we're going to be able to judge them, is against the qualifications. That is how we try their spirit. We use the qualifications of the Word to judge a pastor or a bishop. And my Word tells me in 1 Timothy 3:2, the qualifications of a bishop, it says a bishop must be above reproach, and the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable. I mean, it's not a lot of hospitable bishops out there. Now, there are some, but there aren't a lot, not these famous ones, because you can't even get to these folks. These folks want hospitality. They're not being hospitable. They want everything done for them. They're not doing for others. They've got folks walking around and putting Carmex on their lip and combing their hair, and in some cases, gluing on their toupee for them. You know, I mean, they're doing all these kinds of things, and they're not being hospitable. They are seeking people that will serve them and worship them. And the Bible says they need to be able to teach. 1 Timothy 3:3 says, not addicted to wine, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. Lord, that's 50% of them just fell out right there. Free from the love of money. And a lot of these famous superstar celebrity bishops always talking about money, and they're always talking about, if you give to them, you're going to get. And what gets on the head is going to get on the rest of the body. So they fool you into thinking that if you keep giving them everything, one day you're going to have what they have. And that is a lie from the pits of hell. That is not what that scripture meant. What gets on the head is going to flow down on the beard. That was talking about the anointing, not money. Money does not operate like that. You know, come on, y'all. This is ridiculous. But people are preaching this stuff, making you think that if you give to them, then whatever they have, the Maybach, the Bentley, the jet, all the stuff they have is going to get on you. And one day your business is going to be successful and you're going to thrive. You're going to be rich. And that's why people go to these churches a lot of times. But come on, y'all. The scripture is telling us that a true bishop cannot have the love of money. He must be one who manages his own house well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. Now, come on, folks. Now, how are these folks qualified for bishop and they can't even control their own kids? The kids are totally out of control. Listen, but the people want a man whose children are out of control because that makes them feel better about their children that's out of control. The Bible says if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? So listen, these are the qualifications. And finally, listen, the last of the qualifications says, and he must have a good reputation with those inside and outside of the church so that he may not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Come on, y'all. Now, if you got a bad reputation with the world, I mean, if superstar comedians are joking about you on TV and making fun of the church and all of this, is that a good reputation? Are you really qualified to be a bishop? Come on. How are we going to judge what a false prophet is if we don't use the word of God? The word of God teaches us what a false prophet is, but we want to say, well, nah, you said that. But we can argue and you can argue all day long, but you can't argue with what the word of God says. The Bible tells us to test the spirit. So that's how we know if it's of God. The Bible says test it. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit. It's telling you right here, just because a man says he's a bishop, just because he says he's a pastor, just because he has thousands of members, just because he has a lot of money and a lot of TV time, that does not make it the spirit of God operating through him. This is why John warned the people and said, beloved, believe not everything you see, every spirit, he said, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. Try the spirit, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, there it is, plain as day. Many false prophets. He's warning you right there that many false prophets are out here. So you have to try the spirit to know if it is a true prophet. How do we try the spirit? Just keep reading. He says, hereby ye know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come of the flesh is God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it will come, and it's already in the world. Now listen to this, y'all. This is very important right here. He's telling you how to try the spirits. Listen, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is where? In the world. Who's in the world? That's Satan. That's the devil. Now listen to this. He says, now those false prophets, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Oh, that's it right there. They speak of the world. They are of the world. What is that? That means they're carnal. They are worldly. They like worldly things. They like bumping elbows with superstar celebrities. They like the celebrities and the movie stars. They like Hollywood and they like the glitz and the glamour. They like all of that. That is the world. Listen, people, it's right here, plain as day. They are of the world. He says, we are of God. He that knoweth God, here is us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby, this is how we know the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. It's right there, y'all. So the Bible is telling us, y'all, right here, that some of these bishops, some of these leaders, some of these people that we've made leaders, that people have heaped upon themselves, they are of the world. So we are to try the spirit to see if they're worldly or if they're of God, because the devil, you know, the devil can change his wicked men into ministers of righteousness. That's what the Bible said. 2 Corinthians 11:13 says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So it's telling you right here that the devil can have some ministers that look like ministers of righteousness because they're using the Bible, they're speaking of the word, and they're speaking of God. So how do we know that they're not ministers of God? Because of what they're preaching. If they're preaching heresy, like Bishop Eddie Long has been preaching for years, if they are preaching damnable heresies and twisting the Bible and twisting it to not mean what it says that it meant and all of these kinds of things, then you know that they are false prophets. prophets. I talked about some of these things that he was teaching even when he was real popular. And one of the things he taught was just, it is understandable that a man should have desires for another man, because when God made man, woman was inside of him. Oh man, that's gay. And then he said, God did not take a rib from Adam, but he removed a uterus from Adam and made woman. Y'all, this is sad that he's teaching this stuff. Then he's teaching the divinity of man, saying that man are little gods and they are divine. But the Bible does not teach that. Come on, y'all. We got to get with this so we can understand where these men are coming from. We think that they are fallen and God is taking them down because of some sin. No, the sin may have exposed them, but the word of God exposed them a long time ago. And that is why so many people are going to be hurt. So many people are going to be disenfranchised and not know where to go. Many's faith is going to be shaken and they're just going to quit church altogether. Why? Because they didn't use the word of God to rightly discern whether or not this was a man of God, whether or not this man was called of God. No, they didn't use the word at all. They just sat up in a church because it was pretty. They were mad at their old pastor and left and went and joined the church because it was big. It was beautiful. The music was great and the movie stars were there. And so they just took that to mean that God must be here. But I got news for you. All you have to do is read the scripture. All you have to do is read the qualifications. All you have to do is understand what the word says. Now, in dealing with the office of a bishop or dealing with true pastors of God, they are to be handled in a certain manner. They are to be dealt with by bishops. This is what a bishop or an overseer really is. He really is the person that will deal with a situation that would come up like this. So if a person has an issue or a fault and they get caught up in something, then they're supposed to be able to deal with this situation based on the accusations, the common report, and witnesses. 1 Timothy 5:19 says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So the Bible has set this up totally different from Galatians 6. It's telling us, hey, now if there's a common report or a rumor or something that's going on or accusations arise, then it's time for a council of bishops or some men to deal with that situation, whoever is in charge of that situation. But here's the problem, people. Spiritual coverings a lot of times are nothing but spiritual cover-ups. And that is the problem. People are putting lascivious bishops over themselves so that when they get in trouble, that bishop's not going to say nothing because he's doing the same stuff or he's into the same thing. So if you are Hollywood famous, bumping elbows with Hollywood and famous artists and musicians and different things, if you're a part of that lifestyle and you get caught or in trouble, how are you going to go to a bishop that's doing the same stuff? He's into the lavish lifestyle and he's only going to protect you. And you know, it's sad because Bishop Eddie Long's spiritual covering, all of the folks under him have gotten in this kind of trouble. That tells us a whole lot about the leader that they're selecting. They're all selecting the same leader, and this particular leader's not dealing with any of them because they all keep getting in trouble. They all keep falling into stuff like this. So, y'all, we have a problem here when these pastors surround themselves with lascivious leadership, leadership that will protect them and cover them up. I was a member of a church one time and the pastor wanted to meet with me and he knew I was doing the truth behind hip hop and stuff. And he said, man, you're out here exposing everything, aren't you? I said, well, no, I'm not exposing anything. I'm just dealing with stuff that's in the media, stuff that's already out there. I just hold it up to the word and let people know what's going on. He said, well, I just want to know, brother, you know, are you going to cover me? And I said, cover you? I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, what are you doing? What do you need covering for? And he said, no, I just want to make sure you covering me. See, that's what we're supposed to do because, see, Noah had three sons and two of his sons walked backwards and covered his nakedness. But the son looked upon his nakedness. He was cursed, which, you know, he was wrong about that. He wasn't cursed. His land was. But he said he was cursed. But the ones that covered him, they weren't cursed. And that's what a covering is. See, if you cover me, then you'll be blessed and you won't be cursed. I said, man, I'm getting out of here. And I left that church because that's some foolishness. I couldn't believe he was even teaching the Bible.
Bible out of context like that, but I could look in his eyes and tell he really believed what he was saying because he was taught that by a lascivious leader. And that is not what God has called us to do. God has not called us to cover each other like that. No, that's not what he's called us to do. But these leaders need to be dealt with from a leadership standpoint by leaders. But because the leaders are corrupt, listen, their spiritual coverings are corrupt. There's no one to judge the situation. So the media and the secular courts are dealing with the situation. And 1 Corinthians 6 tells us, don't go to the world. Don't go to the world's court systems. Don't use unsaved people to judge the affairs of the church. But I feel sorry for these young men that have brought forth this case, because these young men say that they've gone to people. And when they go to these different leaders, nobody will do anything. And I know that from personal experience, where some young guys came to me about it and we tried to get some things done. But, you know, these guys, they got money, they got fame, so you can't do anything to them. So these guys were left with nothing but to go to the secular courts. And it is a dirty shame that these kinds of things are going on, are named among God's people, and giving the church such a bad reputation with the world. So listen, I know people are saying right now, well, what am I supposed to do? We need to just pray. Let's just pray. I mean, you don't need to be talking about it. Let's just pray. And people say that because they don't want to hear it. You know, they don't want to hear it because it makes them feel bad. Then it makes them start looking at some things they're doing wrong. And a lot of times it just makes us feel bad as individuals. You know, we were taught that even as African Americans. Shh, don't say nothing. You know, the master might hear you. And that came all the way down to now. Shh, don't say nothing. White folks might hear you. You know, and we have that same mentality. So when it happens, stuff like this happens in the church, we want to shh, just pray about it. Just pray. But I got news for you. Paul just gave us all of these different instances on how to deal with these situations. Yeah, you pray. And I want to let people know we pray all the time at True Church Perspective, EX Ministries, and at our church. We have a prayer team that wakes up every Tuesday and Thursday at 5 a.m. and they all pray collectively. We've been praying for this situation for a long time. We knew things were going to happen in Atlanta prophetically. So we were praying for Atlanta, and even one of our prayer ministers went out to Atlanta and had prayer there back in August over this same stuff. So y'all, please, we're on top of the prayer, so you don't have to email us and write us and tell us to pray, okay? We know how to do that. We're grown-up Christians, so we know what we're doing. But we can't just pray. We have to pray, seek God, and then when God tells us what to do, guess what we have to do? We have to do it, okay? So let's stop the massa mentality and y'all, shh, don't say nothing, and let's deal with these things like the Word of God tells us to deal with them, because we have to remember, like Jude 17 says, predictions that were made by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, they told us beforehand in the last days that there will be scoffers, those who seek to gratify their own unholy desires, following after their own ungodly passion. So listen, the Bible warned us about it, but then he says, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and then guard and keep yourselves in the love of God, and expect and patiently wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and refute, convict some who dispute with you, some have mercy who waver and doubt. Then it says, save others, snatching them out of the fire. So the Bible's telling us what to do here, y'all. We got to get the folks out of the fire. The people that are blind, we got to open their eyes. The people that are walking in darkness, we got to shed light on them, y'all. We have to use the truth of the word to do this. So that is my message to you. Let's pray about it, but then let's go ahead and do what the word of God says so that we can deal with this situation like the word of God has laid it out before us. Yes, it's time to pray. It's time to pray for the bishop and his family. It's time to pray for the children. It's time to pray for those young men that are involved. It's definitely time to pray for the body of Christ as a whole. But y'all, we have to keep the scriptures in context, and we have to make sure we're dealing with this situation the way God has laid it out for us in the word. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you for this word. I thank you, Father God, for being merciful to all of us. God, we've all sinned and fallen short. So God, we ask that you take our sins away. God, cover our sins in your blood. And Father, we ask that you just allow us to grow stronger in you so that we won't come across these calamities that take us down. But Father, keep us in your most holy faith, Lord God. And I pray right now for the city of Atlanta. I pray for the churches in Atlanta. Father God, I pray, God, for those men that are there that are real for you, those men that are there that are crying out for you. Father God, I pray that those members that leave that lascivious church and fellowship will have a place to go, God. God, I pray that you would lead them to some good churches, some good fellowships with some good men of God that won't take advantage of them, God, that won't exploit them, but Father God, will treat them like you want them to be treated. And God, I pray right now, Father God, that you would intervene in this situation, Lord, and bring your justice to this situation. Bring what you want to happen, not what the secular media wants, not what the sinful newscast wants, but Father, we pray that your will be done in this situation. And we just thank you for being God in our lives, and we thank you for always being in control. In Jesus' name we pray. And we'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.